picture the New York City skyline. Now imagine a giant suspension bridge cutting through the tip of Manhattan, stretching past Governor's Island all the way to Red Hook, Brooklyn. Or imagine an airport in midtown Manhattan, right along the Hudson River. It may sound far-fetched, but these projects are among hundreds that could have changed the city you walk through every day. And they're documented in a book, Never Built New York, which illustrates the buildings, monuments, and other structures that never came to be. We brought our microphones to Lower Manhattan to meet up with Sam Lubell, co-author of the book, for a mini tour of some of the city's never-built projects. We are now at the tip of Manhattan, right here at Battery Park. We're looking over the New York Harbor, and we're looking at a lot of sites where things actually didn't happen.
Yes. Welcome to Never Built Tourism. We're looking at New York Bay. First thing you notice is obviously the Statue of Liberty. There was another monument planned that when people came into New York, the first thing they would have seen would not be the Statue of Liberty. It would be a monument that was equal in size to the Statue of Liberty, and it was a monument to American Indians. And it was designed by Thomas Hastings, who designed the New York Public Library. And it was commissioned by the son of John Wanamaker, of Philadelphia department store fame. And his son was a noted art enthusiast. He commissioned Hastings to build a monument that at its base sort of looked like it was kind of a Beaux-Arts building that was similar to the New York Public Library, actually. And then it had a pyramid on top of that. And then on top of that was a statue of an Indian chief. And it was a very, very serious plan. They had a groundbreaking. The president, William Howard Taft, was at the groundbreaking. Everything was approved for the project. Unfortunately, then World War I hit, and everybody got distracted, including Wanamaker himself. So for so many reasons, that grand monument that literally would have been, you know, we're looking across the bay at Staten Island, and at the tip of Staten Island, near where the Verrazano Narrows Bridge footings are, that's where that would have been.
One of the other interesting things in the book is kind of how there were plans for landfill, and we know a lot of Manhattan was built on landfill,
exactly.
Especially like where the World Trade Center is, but we're looking out now south, and in your book, has almost a different city jutting out into this bay.
Yeah, we wouldn't be enjoying the water right now. It was a plan by a civil engineer, a very noted civil engineer at the time named T. Kennard Thompson, for more than two decades proposed a plan that he called the City of New Manhattan. And the idea, which was on the front page of the New York Times, is on the front page of pretty much every paper in the city, was to build landfill projecting out from the tip of Lower Manhattan, projecting almost all the way to Staten Island.
That far?
Would have swallowed up. You can see Governor's Island. That wouldn't have been an island anymore.
Wow.
Essentially, it would have almost doubled the size of Manhattan.
And then if we kind of crane our neck over this way, toward the west, we can see the famous buildings of Ellis Island. And then looking in your book, it sort of looks like the Jetsons.
Yeah. When Ellis Island was decommissioned in the mid-50s, the government had no interest in keeping it as it was. They opened it up to development. And there was one plan for a university to go there, as a plan for a prison, a plan for a big resort. And the greatest bid, the highest bid for the project, came from a company that had hired Frank Lloyd Wright to design a new city within a city, they called it. And in the center, as you said, it looks like the Jetsons. There's these sort of amazing kind of
domes.
Well, there's domes around the side, and in the middle there's all these sort of suspension bridge type structures, and the center was going to be housing, residential and hotel, and radiating around that, these domes were going to hold basically all the functions of life. So schools, theaters, everything that you can think of, we're going to be inside these giant bubbles.
It's so interesting how the city's geography or a city landscape can be kind of defined by how it was not developed.
Yeah, well, everybody's kind of used to the idea of studying New York's buildings, but nobody's really studied the never built buildings, and you learn, I think, sometimes even more from what wasn't built. But you also learn that New York, all these places that you go to every day, were very, very close to being absolutely different. Nothing was as stable or as kind of set in stone as you might think. So everything from Grand Central Terminal to Rockefeller Center to all the things that you think of as being iconic New York places known around the world were very, very close to being absolutely 180 different than what they are now.
That's Sam Lubell. He and co-author Greg Golden wrote Never Built New York. They'll be talking about the city's might-have-been skyline tomorrow night at the Center for Architecture. And an exhibition based on their book will open at the Queens Museum next year. To check out some of the designs you just heard about, go to WNYC.org.